Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
And welcome back, one and all, from across the nation and around the world, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Woo!
Holla!
I was checking our feed hits, which shows us... Which kind of shows where people are listening from, where people are downloading our show from. And we had somebody from Germany who downloaded our show.
Awesome.
Maybe it's one of my cousins.
And we had a Mexican who downloaded our show.
Oh, I don't know people in Mexico.
Literally someone in Mexico. I'm sure we could have dozens of Mexicans who downloaded it from California or across the fruited plain. But we actually had...
A Mexican?
From Mexico.
Bueno.
So, yeah.
Does it say where? Or does it just say country?
It just has a country. Like USA, Germany, Mexico, and that's just been in the last week. So we're blowing up around the globe.
Well, if you're in Mexico or Germany listening to us, send us an email so we can know exactly where you are because we want to know.
And the email address for the show is natedarlingshow@rocketmail.com.
Rocket Mail.
Hey, everybody, you should like us on Facebook, too. I'm a little disappointed because I know we've got a lot of listeners, but we have a lot of slacking going on in terms of people liking us on Facebook.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of stuck on a really low number.
That's easy. That's one click.
It's one click, and all we do is I post.
Click sounds funny.
I know, doesn't it? And a little bit of extra stuff that we don't talk about on the show shows up there. Maybe some stories that we didn't get to. Some funny stuff that I find throughout the week will go on there. So it's sort of a bonus thing.
And can
you.
I say, if you're nervous that Facebook changed, it's so much. It's fine now. So if you've been avoiding the book of face, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and we don't have a Google Plus circle yet.
Ugh, I'm over. I don't understand it. I have Google Plus, and it's stupid.
I'm going to do what I did with Facebook to Google Plus, which is get an account, ignore it for about a year and a half, and then somebody's going to go, "Hey, are you? You're on Google Plus, right?" And I'll go, "Yeah," and then there'll be a big, large community there for me.
See, when I had Facebook, is when you needed a school address because I was working at the University of Maryland, and all my students were on it. So within a day, I had like 180 people, and so I've always just had people on. I didn't understand. Now Google Plus, I have like 30 friends, and it's boring, and only two people post.
Yeah,
and you have to put people in circles.
We don't have
to. It's segregating your friends,
and you can do that with Facebook too. So let's talk about what went on over the weekend, Mel. There was the first annual. I always love it when it's the first annual. That brings about a lot of supposition, but the first annual Sacramento Comedy Festival.
That's right. It was super fun. It was Thursday through Sunday, and we had stand-ups, improvisers, and sketch people, as well as some short film type stuff going on.
At the Sacramento Comedy Spot.
At the Sacro Comedy Spot. And I think Brian Krall, who owns the place, did a really good job of getting a lot of really cool teams to come and perform. And it was super fun. I saw every single improv show.
You did?
I did.
Did you get a prize? That one dude got a prize.
She got a lot of pictures is what I saw.
I took pictures of every improv group. Wow. Except for the one I was in, and then someone else took the pictures of the two shows that I actually performed in, because otherwise it would have been weird if I was taking pictures while I was in the show. I mean, I suppose I could have incorporated it, but it would have been distracting.
Did you see the horror movie?
I didn't. I just saw all the improv, and I saw a couple of the stand-ups.
My friend Don made that movie.
Nice.
the one thing that I really learned is that, you know, being from Sacramento, I've always sort of been self-conscious, like, we're the farm town small potatoes improvisers. And I was a little bit nervous that people were going to come from LA and San Francisco and show us up. And I know that sounds low self-esteemy, but maybe I am a little bit low self-esteemy, but whatever.
You were beautiful, Mel.
Thanks.
You're
and I
welcome.
I was really nervous, especially because there was like an all-female group coming. And I was sort of like, oh, I'm glad we're going before them because they're going to come and show us how it's supposed to be done because they're from LA. And what I learned was we are as good as everybody else. And that really validated what we're doing here in our little small town, because I didn't see any group that I thought blew us out of the water. I thought we had some of the best shows, and we had by far the biggest crowds.
Well, yeah, because people here know the shows because, you know, they might have been to a show before, and they know what they're going to get when they go out. It's tough when you go out and nobody – because the thing with improvisers is other than a select few, you don't know – any, I mean, it could be like one of the most popular groups anywhere, but most people don't know who they are.
See, and I thought people were going to be like, ooh, people from LA. I just want to see that. Yeah. I just want to see what they're doing in LA because LA is so cool.
Well, the bottom line is you can do mediocre work or entertainment no matter where you are. And also, to be fair, having done improv, everybody in this room has done improv. You have shows where you don't really achieve what you really want to achieve when you go on stage. That's kind of the magic and tragedy of improv all at once.
True.
But
if it makes you feel better, people in New York and Chicago think LA improv is nothing but horse shit.
Well, yeah.
I mean,
they were all great. I mean, everybody I saw from LA was great. It's just that we weren't any less great.
Right.
And that was really validating.
Absolutely. I mean, it's all about imagination and creativity and working at your craft. And
he said, work your craft.
Work your craft, bitches. And you know, the people who perform all around Sacramento at all of the improv joints around town. And when I came here, there was only one, and it was in a small little divey place, and now it's in a really nice place. But now there's at least three or four places around Sacramento where there's improv, so the scene is really burgeoning and growing.
One could say Sacramento has an extremely supportive environment for the creative class.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And all the groups from all the different theaters that do improv in Sacramento all came and performed, and they all did really well.
And how's your improv in Germany? How's that?
Guten Tag.
Guten Tag.
Ooh.
Give me name. So
I went to an improv show in Argentina, and my Spanish is not exactly the best in the world. It was very confusing.
Did you feel very left out?
I was able to get most things. Some things were, let's just say, I just thought they were abstract.
So that's like a couple weeks ago. There was a group from England, and granted, it's the same language, but some of the language and the vernacular and the jokes I did not get because they were just too English.
Those dudes were hysterical.
They were amazing.
What were they? What was their name?
The Cambridge Footlights.
Yeah, they were great.
They were amazing.
And for anybody listening who doesn't know what improv is, because there are people who don't know what it is, improv is not people standing in front of a brick wall telling jokes. That's the improv. Improv is comedy scenes made up on the spot based upon suggestions from the audience or an opening sort of game or skit or something like that. So it's a very organic way of creating funny scenes.
Well, I think a lot of people, when they think of improv, they think of Whose Line Is It Anyway, which is one form of improv. That's short form improv. What we do is a long form, which is more scene based. So it's sort of like seeing Saturday Night Live, except it's not pre-written sketches. It's sketches that are basically made up on the spot.
Okay, and now that we've nerded out on the improv for a moment,
the other parts
of the show, I did the stand-up show at 5 o'clock on Saturday, which is kind of a interesting time to try and do stand-up whenever it's light outside.
It's always
a challenge, and we had kind of a small crowd, and I think they enjoyed themselves because other than the few people who had the very terrible body language, which sometimes it's just because there's no like armrests on the chairs. Their arms are folded not because they hate you, but their arms are folded because there's no other place to put them. So it was an interesting experience doing stand-up that early for a crowd that wasn't really that fired up yet. But
and they hadn't had any drinks yet.
You should have had a cheerleader do a pep rally before.
Yeah.
I don't think cheerleaders roll out.
L-A-U-G-H. L-A-U-G-H. I'm not a good cheerleader.
No, but we could have used
you. That was awesome.
We could have totally used you for that.
Holla.
All right. Also, over the weekend, they opened up the Terminal B, the new Terminal B, just for tours. It's opening up, I think,
Thursday
for the public. And, Larry, you got to go out and take a look at the new Terminal B at Sacramento International. How's it looking?
I did. It is freaking fantastic. Ugh, it is beautiful. I feel like it's so... Okay, for those of you that have ever been to the old Sacramento airport, there are two terminals. One with Southwest and Hawaiian and US Air. That's a newer terminal. It's nice. The other terminal literally felt like it was out of 1973. It was embarrassing.
Yeah. 1967, actually.
Whenever anyone came, I apologize. It was like Sacramento is much better than this. So the new terminal, I mean, granted, it was like $1 point something billion.
Yeah,
literally.
It
is worth it. It was beautiful. There's like a main terminal that's like four stories. Well, I guess 3.5. And then you take a monorail to get to the gates where the gates are. And it's beautiful. And what's really cool, for those of you that don't know much about Sacramento, Sacramento has a law that I think it's like 4% of any public financing for any building has to be spent on public art. So 4% of the total budget. Now, that would have been a lot of money with $1 billion. So they scaled it down to like $18 million. But they have huge, amazing public art. They have this gigantic red bunny that's hopping through the sky into a suitcase that's a vortex, and I learned all kinds of things about it. They have a whole bunch of installation pieces. It's like they had docents all over the place. It literally was like going, like being in an art gallery. It was awesome. It's pretty and shiny and not obnoxious. And I feel, I mean, I travel a lot and I feel like I've seen a lot of airports. Literally, this is one of the best airports I've ever seen.
Oh, very cool.
I would, I mean, my mom and dad, who are more travel geeks than I am, are probably going to come out just to see it.
Wow.
That's very cool. And I know
making a trip to see the airport.
People will, people in the airline industry will for sure. It is, oh, and all the restaurants are incredible. They're all local, so they're like Cafeteria, Jack's Urban Eats, Burgers and Brew, Empire Grill.
Isn't Ernesto's in one of those?
Ernesto's.
Well?
Wow. I don't even know how I'm going to decide where to eat before I go.
Real food.
An American, which I fly Southwest American primarily, American is now in the new terminal, which makes me so happy.
So is JetBlue, and true. I spoke very glowingly of them, and so I'm very excited about that. So, Southwest is actually moving to the new terminal
they
as
are.
Well.
They
well,
control.
I'm
like
in
53%.
The market for a plane ticket, so I appreciate.
Where are you going?
I am going home
for
Thanksgiving
to Ohio.
Good to luck. Ohio.
They're pricey.
Yeah.
Ooh, and do you fly into Cincinnati?
Cincinnati or Dayton?
Ooh.
Cincinnati is expensive.
One Southwest doesn't go to either of those places.
No,
which
it doesn't.
Hurts.
And now Cincinnati has a whole mothballed terminal.
Yeah.
Because Delta's reduced so much.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe you could fly to Indianapolis and drive.
Ew.
Fly to Columbus, and you could stay at my parents' house.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
People have before.
You are so weird.
That is
no, they're nice. They live like a literally about 8 minutes from the airport. True story. But go to the side. Oh, and I bought a T-shirt. This is what I find interesting about the airport. So, granted, you had to like give your birthday before you get in, but then there was no, they weren't checking tickets because they were so strict about sharing information. They just assumed the only people there should have been. There was no security in terms of what you could and couldn't do. I went with our friend Tiffany and her husband. Oh,
somebody's jumped
Tiffany.
Ahead.
I did not mean that. Her boyfriend, David, who's awesome, and my friend Rachel, we were pretending, of course, that we were airline employees. We were working gates. I was on a computer. I was behind the check-in terminal. The amount of things that, like, you had access to make me a little bit nervous because I'm sure they're going to do continued sweeps in there, but, like, wow, you could have hidden anything. You could have brought. There was no security at any point.
Well, I know that today being Tuesday, they are installing all of the TSA stuff. That's what's going
after
in.
The fact.
Well, yeah, after. Well, nobody was going anywhere, so they're putting all the TSA stuff in, and they're probably going to sweep after that,
yeah,
to get ready for the big opening. So that's why. I mean, it was just a way to allow everybody to go out and sort of roam around and really see what was going on there.
We should have snacks when we do this podcast.
Ooh.
Well, we should get a sponsor from one of these restaurants that's in the airport because I'm hungry.
Burgers and Brew, please.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, yeah, that would be great. There would be nothing but this.
I'm okay with that. I would go, ooh, it's so good.
So meaty.
Do you have any idea what our listeners would do? They would just hit stop and throw their iPod in anger.
False. They would say, wow, that food sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go right over to Burgers and Brew and get some dinner immediately.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
They would. So if you haven't... Go to the airport. It's awesome.
Cool. Okay. Well, I will in November.
We'll all go to the airport eventually. Speaking of airports, Amanda Knox was
home.
She's home. She landed in Seattle.
Thank God.
After 4 years in an Italian prison for not killing her roommate, she's back home. I don't know what happened to her boyfriend, but because he's apparently not as hot as she is. So
he was released too.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, they were both acquitted.
And what's surprising is in the Italian justice system, they not only overturned the verdict, they ruled her not guilty, which was kind of unprecedented.
But now she has to pay for slandering.
Yeah, because she was found guilty of slander, and she already served her 3 years.
Time. She served four, so
she has to pay him a bunch of money.
She overserved. I think she can punch an Italian guy now.
They showed her tonight. She just got to Seattle and she's home. She did a little press conference. I'm so used to only seeing her speak Italian in court that when she spoke English, it was rather like, wow, you really are an American.
I wonder if the boyfriend who is Italian is going to leave Italy as soon as possible because if they appeal it, he's going to be there and they'll go get him.
I think he's British or something.
I thought he was Italian.
Well, I don't know. I know the victim was British.
Right.
There you go.
And that was the situation with that one.
And I do hope they figure out if there were other people involved who they were. I mean, the family still deserves justice. I just don't think these two people were involved.
Well, was it really a murder, or was it a sex game gone wrong?
The media made her paint it. I mean, they really did paint her like this drug-fueled, sex-crazed American girl.
Yeah.
So I don't think we'll ever really know, but...
We should try to get Amanda Knox on our podcast.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to... I don't have the money for that.
You never know. I'm gonna text her.
Yeah. Do.
How about you get Jennifer Grey or Kesha on our podcast first?
Jennifer Grey might actually do it. Just saying, seriously.
That's cool.
Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be the most awesome thing ever.
It would be fun. We actually have a guest for next week,
Mel. Hey, Jennifer Grey.
We do?
Jennifer Grey.
It's not Jennifer Grey.
It's close. They're twins.
Yeah, they're very close. I will tell you later. I already told Larry.
That is so mean then.
Well, it's not mean.
That is mean.
I'll give you a hint. He's a black male comedian and you know him.
He's not a black male comedian. He's an African American male who does comedy.
Is it Chaz?
No.
Chaz
not,
Bono?
Yes.
This is Chaz Bono.
Chaz Bono is a tranny dancer.
Okay. So
and
now
for all you people, I say tranny lovingly.
Well, how can you... What other way is there to say
you
tranny?
You could use tranny in a very offensive way. Some trannies don't like the word tranny.
Oh, well.
But I love when car mechanics say things about transmissions and they say it needs a new tranny. It makes me giggle.
Watching NASCAR, they're talking about the tranny going out.
Did anyone see there's a black NASCAR driver who has commercials now?
No.
I'm very confused. I knew Dana Patrick, but I didn't know there was a black dude driver. If you email us in the name of the black NASCAR driver, you will get a secret prize.
Or we
can't tell you what it is.
Or we could just Google it.
No, that's not exciting.
I was so going to just say that.
Black NASCAR. Just Google black NASCAR.
Ooh, I feel like that's the name of a really bad adult movie.
It's like the Negro Leagues of car racing.
Aww,
what? What?
I don't feel comfortable.
They existed. You can't ignore them.
No, I don't think there were Negro car race leagues.
No, that part I made up.
That sounds like I'm pretty sure.
It was the correlation between the Negro leagues and baseball.
Oh.
I didn't get that either. I was like, there were not.
I know. I was like, I don't think there were.
Oh, so you thought I was serious, because that's exactly how we rolled here. speaking of Amanda Knox and strange sexual things, we have an update on the... former meteorologist Brett Cummings in Little Rock,
right.
Arkansas. They have determined the cause of death of the man who was found naked in the whirlpool tub with him.
Can we guess? Larry,
Well, Larry already knows.
I
talked about it before.
I guessed right.
Dang.
Yeah, Larry probably had a pretty good line on this. This should sound pretty, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I just wanted to update everybody. Dexter Williams, who was 24, died of asphyxia along with significant findings of acute combined methamphetamine.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
And amphetamine intoxication. So he went out and partied a little too hard.
And then got leaned on while he was sleeping in a tub.
I wonder where he's going to end up, the meteorologist dude.
Rehab, probably. That would be my best. I haven't heard anything about him. So he's very much laying low, but that is that's the update as far as the cause of death. But I'm gonna try to find the back.
That guy should go on Dancing with the Stars next season.
Oh, jeez.
The meteorologist.
Okay. The medical examiner officially listed the manner of death as undetermined. However, police say there was no finding of strangulation listed in the cause of death. So if that's going to be turned over to the investigative file to. The prosecutors, and they're going to determine what, if any, charges are going to be filed.
Who's been voted off besides Meta World Peace on Dancing with the Stars?
Some dude. I don't know his name.
Some random.
I record it, but I only watch it with like the last 5 weeks left. And then I fast forward through all the episodes. Do you know what I think's weird?
What?
Is like when anyone dies and there's weird sex things around, I always get nervous. It's that thing when you don't breathe. What's it that people like choke you?
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Yeah, I think that is
like
so
David Carradine.
Weird.
Wasn't David
I don't like
Carradine?
To judge.
And the guy from NXS.
Yeah.
Was it David Carradine or Keith Carradine?
I thought it was David Carradine, the dad.
Know. That's
the older
just is
guy.
Weird to me.
Keith Carradine died of a drug overdose, I thought.
Hmm.
Larry, get your phone out.
No, I'm nervous one day. I'm going to disappear and my phone's going to show the weirdest stuff. And I'm going to be like, who was this dude?
Larry went missing. We checked his phone for stuff.
There was blue tacos and autoerotic asphyxiation.
Well, at least you didn't have to Google this. Hank Williams Jr.
Are you ready for some football?
Yeah, he's not ready for football.
He comes from country music royalty, and he's been the voice of Monday Night Football for over 20 years. But it's not all about
music. He was on
Fox
and Friends on Monday morning and not on Monday Night Football Monday night.
2012 GOP field is country singer superstar.
Yeah, this is the guy you want breaking down the presidential field, too.
Hi there, guys.
Where are you?
Oh, that doesn't start well.
Oh, I'm sitting here in Nashville at the studio.
Okay, good. Your body language says leave you alone. Your hands are crossed.
Whatever,
you're shaking us off. Okay.
Hey, since
I'd rather be up there. I'd rather be there looking at Gretchen.
Well, there you go.
He said in a creepy, rapey sort of way.
Let's have a little intimate discussion right here. I'd love to pick your brain about politics.
Yeah, you know, like I'd like
all
to pick something else
I'll
off of you.
With an easy question. Who do you like in the GOP race?
Nobody.
Me too. I agree with that part. We're simpatico so far.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Remember
the golf game?
Boehner.
That was one of the biggest political mistakes ever.
Why?
That turned a lot of people off. You know, watching, you know, it just didn't go over.
What's he talking about?
You mean when John Boehner played golf with President Obama?
Oh, yeah. And Biden and Kasich,
Get ready for some good intellectual breakdown of a golf game. By the way, what is so wrong with political leaders playing golf and discussing, I don't know, maybe how they can get past the impasse that's blocking everything going through Congress? I don't know. But Hank had a problem with it.
What did you not like about it? It seems to be a really pivotal moment for you.
Come on. It'd be like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu, okay?
Okay. It's like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. So that was the that was the comment that got him pulled off of the opening.
And
Monday
I'm not
Night
sure
Football.
I understand how I it thought, is like that.
I thought he said something about Hitler and Obama.
Oh, no, he compared Hitler to Obama. He said them playing golf together was like Hitler playing golf with Netanyahu. He continued.
Okay.
Not hardly. In the country this shape is in, the shape this country's in, I mean. No.
I don't understand the analogy, actually.
The guys at Fox and Friends have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Right. Well, if you're hearing it for the first time, there's no way to make sense of it because he's absolutely batshit crazy, and two, he sounds a little drunk. But he continues to explain to them,
and he's not fun. He's just very blah.
You were expecting fun?
I mean, if you're going to be batshit crazy, at least make it easy to laugh at, not just kind of blah blah.
Oh no. He continues to explain what he's talking about.
Well, I'm glad you don't, brother, because a lot of people do. Well, you know, they're the enemy. They're the enemy.
Who's the enemy?
Obama and Biden. Are you kidding? The Three Stooges.
That's only
the one that makes the most sense is Herman.
I love that. Obama, Biden, the Three Stooges.
Who's their third stooge?
Well, even the idiots on Fox and Friends are like, that's only two stooges.
we lost a stooge.
You know you've gone off the deep end when you're on Fox News and they're doing a backpedal to get away from what you're talking about.
Cain. Herman Cain makes more sense.
So you do have a favorite. Herman Cain of the guys who are and gals who are running for president.
Right now.
Oh, okay. God.
Right now
he makes
more sense
than any of them. The fact that he thinks he's the best one
just says a lot. Because last time around, you were a supporter of Governor Sarah Palin.
At least they didn't say he's one of the good ones.
Boy, was I.
Do you want her to get in this time?
I don't know. You know, like I said, guys, they've turned a lot of people off. I mean,
why?
Look at USA Today poll. 89%.
Why is him talking any news?
Well, it's because he compared Obama to Hitler. You
know, which is stupid, but, like, I don't understand.
Why did they choose to have him on in the first
exactly.
place? How is he relevant to any of this?
Look, they've got a lot of time to fill on that morning show.
From your very emphatic statements this morning is that you are not a big fan of the parties coming together at all to kind of try and find compromise.
No.
All right. Let's talk about Monday Night Football.
We're more polarized than we've ever been, guys. You know it. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. We're polarized.
So why are we supposed to stay apart from each other?
Yeah, you didn't.
Yeah, that,
stupid.
Yeah, just utterly idiotic. And not on Monday Night Football. But ESPN only pulled him off for 1 week. Whether that'll become completely official or not, I don't know. But I thought that it was important to hear that idiocy firsthand because there's been a lot of chatter about it, but some people haven't heard it, obviously. And
it's kind of boring. I thought it was going to be more inflammatory.
No, it's just an old racist rambling on about stuff he has no clue about. That's really all it is.
To be fair, I think it's a little hard to call him racist when he says he likes Herbert Kane the best.
Well, no, he sounds like every old racist I've ever heard, though. You know what I'm talking about. You're talking about that's going on there. You know.
And I'm not going to say anything to back it up. I'm just going to keep telling you what it is.
I'm just going to talk about it. You know. You know them people. Anyway.
Yeah.
He's a nutbag. Absolute complete
But
nutbag.
Not nutty enough to be funny. I'd rather him be batshit crazy.
No, he's the kind of... And the worst part is...
Who is he? Besides singing that song, what the hell has he ever done?
He's had...
Sang a few other songs.
Yeah, he's had a few... He's a country singer. And his dad was an iconic country singer who died young, mostly of alcoholism.
Maybe meth in a bathtub.
I don't think it was meth in a bathtub. I don't think they made meth back then.
Oh, yeah, they did.
In the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
Meth in the 50s?
Yep. They called it Vitavitamin.
You're so weird.
Did you just go with an I Love Lucy reference?
No, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure we were all on the same page. All right, so Hank Williams Jr. Now, Jason Biggs' wife.
Hell yeah.
Okay.
That's hot as hell.
Can I just say, I found you. So you
well,
sent
let
me.
Well, let me explain.
Set it up. Do the setup.
Let me explain before you go go all Hollywood on me and blow this out of the water before we even get it out of the way. Jason Biggs from American Pie.
Which is good that you say that because otherwise nobody knows who he is.
Exactly. His wife of 1 year, Jenny Mullen, recently wrote a very detailed and extensive blog, which Mel can attest to because it really is long.
It's so boring.
On she and her husband attempting and eventually sort of successfully hiring a prostitute with
Hell
whom
yeah.
to have a three-way for the actor's birthday. And it's really...
Boring.
It's long.
And boring.
I mean, she's not a good writer. I'll start with that.
No.
I mean, you know, her heart's in the right place. She wants to have she wants to give her husband a three-way for his birthday.
That's sweet.
It is, although to do it with a hooker, I don't know that that's really sweet.
Oh, that makes it hot and naughty.
And disease-ridden. But so she starts this whole thing. She apparently asked one of her friends where she could get, and she's, you know how people, rather than just ask, they try and get all codey about stuff. And she asked one of her friends to find her a massage therapist. So her friend recommended this massage therapist and said, hey, if you bring her over and pay her and tell her what you want, she'll do anything you need. And so they bring her over, and this massage therapist is actually a massage therapist and actually was doing massage, kept talking about this woman's rotator cuff and doing a real massage.
Rotator cuff in this context sounds very dirty.
I know, it sounds very lesbian-y, but... Anyway, so that was all the practical joke. But after much trying, she eventually was able to find a prostitute to hire. And what ended up happening, apparently, was the prostitute asked the wife to perform oral on the husband. And she was like, what am I paying you for? In her head, of course. But so she did it. But apparently Mr. Biggs could not stay big because... Of whatever reason, whether he just really, really loves his wife.
He was scared.
Probably.
He thought it was a setup.
I think his penis went into self-defense mode.
Mel, you don't think this is a good idea?
I'm not saying in general that you can't have a threesome successfully. What I'm saying is this whole thing was a train wreck. It was stupid. It was boring. And who gives a shit? These people are people I don't care about, and it wasn't an interesting, erotic, interesting story. It wasn't a funny story. It was just a boring fucking read.
Well, you're talking about the read itself. The story itself is actually really interesting.
I think it's fun when a wife gets her husband.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't find it interesting at all.
The concept of a wife going out and getting her husband a three-way for his birthday, and they've been married for 1 year, that's absolutely interesting.
That's hot.
And the fact that she had such a problem finding a hooker when... Idiots and drug dealers do it every day without any problem at all.
Plus, you always hear about all these Hollywood types always have a million slutty friends. She didn't have one friend that could help her out.
Oh, I'm not saying she's smart. No.
Would you have a threesome with...
I'm sorry?
Would you have a threesome with Jason Biggs and his wife?
Mr. Biggs.
Is there money involved?
Well, there are free passes to a future movie.
Ooh, and you get the complete catalog of American Pie.
Then I'm going to go with no.
Oh.
Mm.
Not even a hand job.
No, those movies to me are that bad.
You don't like American Pie?
How dare you? I'm American sorry. Pie 1 and 2? Those are cinema
that's
classics.
Like college.
They are cinema classics. So
Mel does not want to have a threesome with Jason Biggs.
You know what? This is the problem. This
especially
is,
after reading that. Now I just think they're idiots.
This is the problem with women right here, because this is actually, and Larry and I both found this a very interesting story, and so did you when the outline was laid out. But because the story was told kind of poorly, you're like, I'm not in the mood for this anymore.
It's true. I shut down.
You did. You were like, it's just not happening for me tonight. I'm going to read now.
I mean, I like hot and I like erotic. This just wasn't any of those things, and I lost interest in them and found them boring quickly.
Straight people are funny.
Funny haha or
yeah,
funny weird.
Like, if two dudes want to have a threesome with another dude, you wouldn't have to go to all of those lengths. You could text like four people and pretty much get it done in 5 minutes.
It is definitely harder for straight people if you want two girls and a guy.
It you know, it's harder for straight
two
people.
Two girls, that's two tacos.
It's
yeah, it is so hard for straight people.
Compared? Yeah, you're like, yeah, we just did a couple texts and then we're doing that. Seriously, it is so much more labor intensive.
I'll text two dudes right now, they'll come over and watch.
And we'll get to
I'm
watch.
Kidding.
We're more sexually repressed, I think.
I don't know that it's well, the problem is I don't know if this is the problem or what it is, but from the time you're a little kid, you have certain things that are sort of put in your head of this is what you do, this is what you don't do, and people are afraid of all sorts of various things from if you're a chick getting pregnant or the guy not calling the next day or how was that for sexist?
Mm-hmm.
And if you're a guy, you're afraid she won't leave. So these are the
wow.
Oh, hate me because it's true. And those are some of the fears that go on. And you know what? Gay is a great description because it really means happy. And is there a happier person than Larry right now?
Nope.
Aww.
Look at him. Look at the smile on his face.
I had a pretty good weekend.
There you go.
I did not have a threesome. I just want to.
I'm not against threesomes, though. That's clear, right?
Foursomes.
You're against bad writing.
Yeah.
How do you feel?
If the story was about we found this hooker and we had this great threesome and here's a story about it, that would have been fun.
Well, the real ending of the story was Jason couldn't keep an erection and the hooker ended up laying on the bed for an hour and telling them stories.
So who cares?
See, everything should really just – because I get most of my pop culture news through Perez Hilton, the headlines.
Right.
Or Yahoo News, which is amazing because I didn't read the whole story. I just read the like literally picture and two sentences. And I thought that was fun.
Yeah. Well,
it's like the Twittering of America. Like everything, you really should be able to communicate every thought in 140 characters.
Well, especially when you're talking about pop culture stuff, because it really is candy for your brain. It's not what you should be spending that much time reading up on.
Or wieners for your bun.
There you go. In Mexico, we mentioned we have a Mexican listener. In Mexico, they're considering temporary marriage licenses.
Yeah.
In Mexico City, the lawmakers want to help newlyweds avoid the hassle of divorce by giving them an easy exit strategy, and that's the temporary marriage licenses. Leftists in the city's assembly who have already riled conservatives by, get ready for this, Larry, legalizing gay marriage.
It's true.
They proposed a reform to the civil code that would allow couples to decide on the length of their commitment, opting out of a lifetime. It's so marriage is sort of like a lease would be the deal with this. You can turn in your spouse after a predetermined period of time.
Or a newer model.
Right. Or you can pay that payment and keep them. So the minimum marriage contract would be for 2 years and could be renewed if the couple stays happy. The contracts include provisions on how children and property would be handled if the couple splits.
It would be nice if after the 2 years you could do a month to month.
It pretty much is just a prenup. But
yeah.
Now, you guys might not know this, but for a year and a half, I worked for the Mexican consulate, and I'm really up to date in Mexican policy issues. Like, it's kind of freaky.
I'm not surprised even a little.
No.
What I find most interesting is that the legislators in Mexico are spending time on this when people are getting beheaded in public, and teachers are afraid to teach because they're going to get kidnapped, and in border towns, doctors and who have joint citizenship live in Texas and buy bad, ugly cars because their risk of getting kidnapped is so severe they can't drive nice cars.
Yeah, but there's nothing they can really do about this. This is something they can change.
Mexico's messed up. That was a lie. I've never worked for the Mexican consulate. Or have I? It's classified.
Well, is it
I'm in a weird mood.
You are such a son of a bitch.
Yeah. It's raining outside. And for people outside of Sacramento, it hasn't rained here in like, I don't know, 6 months, five months.
It sprinkled 2 days ago.
Well, before that, the rain impacts me. It makes my hair a little curly.
Oh, so finishing this off, this is going to surprise everybody. I know this is a shocker. The church has criticized the proposed change. Quoting the church, "This reform is absurd. It contradicts the nature of marriage. It's another one of these electoral theatrics that the assembly tends to do that are irresponsible and immoral." It's a Catholic church, of course, because it's Mexico. They hold considerable sway in the country with the world's second largest Catholic population. After, what is the largest Catholic population, Mel?
I don't know. What?
Larry?
Kenya?
No. This hemisphere.
United States.
It's Brazil. Brazil has the largest Catholic population.
Yeah. That's hemisphere. I was like, that's not on this continent. true story. Kesha just ended her Get Sleazy tour in Rio, performing in front of 160,000 people.
Wow.
And I would say at least 120,000 of them, probably Catholic. All right. So anyway, it's time for our original segment. It's not our only segment anymore because we have a new one called Small Town News that we're going to close with. But it's the original segment. We know what it is.
Cool.
Hey.
Cool.
Whoa. All right. So let's vote on this one really quickly. Hank Williams Jr., cool or
Tool?
Tool.
Yeah, that's a three-way on the Tool. Jason Biggs' wife, not for her writing, but for her idea of giving her husband a three-way for
his
birthday.
Wait, that's not fair. Her idea of her successfully completing it.
No. Her idea. Well, take
her
out,
open-mindedness to having a threesome
for her
husband.
The spirit of what she tried to do.
Hell yeah, cool.
Because it's not her fault that her husband couldn't keep it up for the entire thing.
Yep.
She got a prostitute there who was ready to go. She was ready to go. He couldn't complete the field goal, so to speak.
I'd marry a bitch like that. Shoot.
Larry's going, cool, Mel.
Oh, I don't know.
How can this? It's easy.
You know, because part of me is that old fashioned, like they're only a year in. If she has to start bringing in whores, then she's not doing a very good job. So she's an idiot. She also didn't do it very successfully. So she's an idiot. And she also wrote a boring blog. So she's an idiot.
But does that make her a tool?
Just that somebody being willing and open to a threesome with their partner
and putting in the work.
Because
she didn't just go, okay. She actually went out and actively pursued it.
Fine, cool.
All right. She's cool. Although dumb is a freaking pose.
Right?
I don't disagree with that at all. Finally, we're going to whip through this one. Temporary marriage licenses, cool or tool?
Cool.
As someone that's not allowed to get married in my state of California, I unfortunately have to abstain.
But you could get married in Mexico. And that's what we're talking about now.
I guess I will say tool.
Ooh, surprise answer from Larry. I'm going to go cool on this one because having been divorced twice, being able to exit marriage strategy simply and easily without any ridiculous costs is appealing to me.
Because the reality is, even though marriage is obviously forever, and that's the premise of being married,
sure.
The reality is we all know that everybody treats it now like a game and a dating, and you do it and you get out of it, and nobody takes it seriously. So you may as well have the way to make it easier.
Well,
I disagree
completely with that. Because all you need is one person in the marriage to not take it seriously, or one person who is not willing or able to complete the commitment of what's going on. And it happens for various reasons. And my two divorces, completely different reasons. I'm not going to go into it now, but
one involves a circus train.
It does. I can't say any more than that. And I'm not going to say anything bad about either of my ex-wives, no matter how much I might want to. I won't. Because it doesn't help anybody. Basically, what it comes down to is sometimes in a marriage, you reach a point where neither person wants to continue. And sometimes you reach a point in a marriage where one person, for whatever reason, decides that the grass is greener somewhere else, be it there's somebody else, there's somewhere else they want to be, or they just feel, for whatever reason, like they're being repressed. And that's, you know, part of the reason why. And a lot of hurt feelings go with that, too. With any sort of breakup like that. But if you go in with the temporary thing, like, okay, we're going to go 2 years, and then we can re-up, like a lease.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go cool on that. So that's kind of what I'm talking about with that. All right, taking a look at the clock here. You know that politicians just don't get it, and it's not just here. It's in other countries, too. I'm not talking Mexico. I'm talking about America's hat, Canada. Canadian opposition legislators mocked Foreign Minister John Baird after it emerged that he had demanded gold-embossed business cards at a time when the government is pushing the need for austerity. Baird gained the an exception from the government rules that ban gold-embossed cards as too
expensive. Why do they have a rule is what I want to know.
Because gold-embossed cards are too expensive.
Do they just have, like, do they also have a rule for, like, no platinum-embossed and no...
Probably.
Scented and no...
I can tell you in the federal government...
no italics.
Some agencies, you have to purchase your own cards because it's considered a personalized item.
Yeah.
And because it has your name on it, the federal government
can't
buy
it. I just want to know if the rule is, like, no... cards over this value, or do they really have to have one rule that's like no gold ones?
If it's
that was
like,
such a problem for so long, we're just no more gold cards.
If it's anything like the American government, there's I'm no joke, there's probably 857 page regulation about the standard and policies of it.
Wow.
And this was all put into place because the government in Canada, the majority ruling government, has put in all these austerity measures for people, saying, look, we need to do this, we need to tighten the belt, the economy's bad, and we're going to participate, and this is one of the ways we're going to participate in it. Much like Jerry Brown taking away cars from legislators in California. People argue, well, that it's really not that much when you think about it, but it's really more the spirit of the thing when they're getting paid more than twice what their average constituent makes to sit around in the assembly in Sacramento and then get a car to drive around for free and a stipend for meals and a stipend for living here.
A car to drunk drive around for free, you mean?
Or to...
with a young Latino boy.
There you go.
No, why does Canada really need a government? Can't they just gather around the igloos and say, like,
here we go.
Holla, hey, here's some poutine.
Here we go. Here we go with that.
I have Canada phobia, I do.
Yeah, it's not Stockton. So anyway, Scott Sims, the opposition's liberals, compared Baird to Gold Member, the gold-obsessed fictional villain in Austin Powers' movie of the same name, as he described how Baird decided, quote, how to just order around government resources. And this is the best. In Parliament, they have they actually confront each other as opposed to talking crap on Fox News. So this is how it was greeted. Would the honorable Gold Member please rise and answer to this?
Wow.
Baird laughed off the attack, saying opposition parties once interested in more important matters were now, quote, dealing with $400 worth of business cards.
That's a pretty douchebag response.
He did not address why he had wanted gold embossed cards.
Because he's a douchebag.
Oh, he's absolutely a douchebag.
He's Canadian.
He's a Canadian douche. So he's a little bit colder and a little
Duel.
Bit
He likes hockey.
Oh, absolutely. This guy's an absolute... Stanley Cup award-winning tool. This guy is a complete...
What's the Stanley Cup? I'm kidding.
I know.
Wow.
I actually kind of like hockey.
Mel, do you know what the Stanley Cup is?
Of course.
Okay, just checking.
I like hockey. I've been to a couple hockey games. I like hockey. It's violent and bloody.
NHL hockey or like the Stockton Thunder?
No, like real hockey.
What's real hockey?
NHL hockey.
Okay.
Not like
I asked NHL. Well, they're professionals in Stockton.
Well, I guess so.
So they're minor league. I didn't know. I've been to high school hockey. I've been to, well, when I was younger, I've been to college hockey.
Oh, yeah, I used to go to college games too.
OU hockey's big.
Yeah.
I've been to like two OU hockey games.
Yeah. Plattsburgh State's big hockey. There's a couple of national championships, Division III, but so that's them. So I was just curious if you knew that. All right. On the internet, people get very creative with things, and people also get... This is going to be kind of a nerdy little thing we're doing here. People have found a way to put old technology to use, and let's see if you guys recognize this song that they made using only a couple of 3.5-inch floppy drives. So here I'm going into the slots. Oh, remember that sound? Mm-hmm. You guys recognize the song?
It's the Star Wars thing.
It is.
That is cool.
What's that noise?
it's 2 3.5-inch floppy drives. It's there. That's what it sounds like when floppy drives are being read.
I don't think I know that.
Oh, you just don't remember it. Anyway, here's what the song sounds like when you play it in an orchestra.
That is so cool.
Oh, with the little thingy you put down, you put the disc in and did that.
Those are the 5 1/4-inch ones, but these are the plastic ones.
Oh, yeah, I remember those, yeah.
I still have some.
All my papers from grad school are on there, and they're inaccessible now.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can buy external drives like that and then flush stuff over.
That's a lot of work.
If you really want your college papers, you could get them. So anyway, that's kind of what the nerds are doing. I kind of like that.
That's like that reminds me. There's a photography show going on in Mill Valley, which is like Bay Area,
right?
And the guy had been like the house photographer in New York and all, in some club, and he has pictures from the 70s of like every single cool band that ever existed, like everyone you
ABBA,
not ABBA,
and he has them on 3.5-inch floppy disks.
No, but he had them on like regular film or whatever, and didn't know what to do with them, so they've been for 30 years in his parents' attic.
Okay, I remember hearing about this.
And then he went and got them and realized that nowadays you can actually get all that stuff digitized, and so now they're doing a show of all of his old stuff in the 70s, like Iggy Pop and Stones, and it's pretty cool.
You mean all of the bands that play in commercials now?
Exactly, who used to be really cool.
I always think Iggy Pop should have his own soda.
I saw Iggy Pop. He spit on the crowd.
Yeah, that's not really surprising. No. Was he wearing a shirt at any point during the show? Yeah.
He's so ugly.
How old is he now? He's got to be in his 60s.
4,000 years old.
He's 4,000 years old. Mm-hmm. And
he's an alien.
And he's ripped like a homeless guy.
Yep.
Seriously. Oh, I have to tell you guys a story. True story. So Saturday morning, I wake up and it's like 9:15 in the morning. And I got a little bit of a headache, so I'm just hanging out on the couch, chilling out. And I've got some shorts on, and I don't have a shirt on because I just got out of bed. And my doorbell rings.
It sounds like a letter to Penthouse.
I know, right? Doesn't it? It's not.
Was it a pizza man?
Hey, dude, you want some meat?
So the doorbell rings, and I'm like, crap. And I'm not answering the door shirtless because that's not how I roll. So I run into my bedroom, and I grab the first shirt that I see, which is the one I'm wearing now, which is the Ben and Jerry's Sweaty Balls t-shirt.
Which is pretty rad.
That my friend Sean gave me when I was back at the Ben and Jerry's compound. And I open the door, and it's a couple of African-American ladies who are probably in their late 40s to early 50s. And this is the move that I didn't realize was creepy until later. I have a cat, and I don't trust him to not try and run outside. So I open the door a little bit, see that it's not someone waiting to stab me. And I do that move where you slip out and close the door quickly behind you.
Mm-hmm.
And only later did I realize that would almost look to somebody who was waiting on the outside like I had somebody tied up on the couch or something.
Maybe you did. You didn't say you didn't.
I did not. I unfortunately did not. It's when I'm not a gay guy. I can't just text somebody and have them tied up on my couch in 10 minutes.
To a 6
10?
It's
not, 4?
It's not how it rolls. Well, if you tie careful knots. So anyway, they inform me that they are Bible students, and they would like to share what they've been learning with their neighbors.
And then you were trapped outside.
I was not trapped outside. I said a polite no, thank you, which absolutely floored them. It stopped them in their tracks, because I'm guessing all they ever hear is either 1% of the time, oh yeah, tell me about that, or the other 99% of the time, get the fuck out of here. It's 9:15 a.m. on a Saturday.
Yeah, or just Midtown. The slamming of a door.
Right, the slamming of the door. And so they were taken aback for a second. And she's like, and she looks around, and across the street, the SAC PD was over rousting my hobo.
Oh yeah,
which I was very excited about. And she goes, oh, they're
sad.
They're, oh, don't be that way, man. I'll come over there. And she's like, oh, look, they're rousting that poor man. I said, good. And she looked at me with this weird mix of horror and shock. Again, because she probably thinks I have somebody tied up on my couch, and now I've said something bad about the homeless guy. And I came back with this one, which will always get them. I go, see that right over there? That's an elementary school. And she goes, oh. Oh, yeah, okay. So it was perfectly okay with her for Captain Drinks-A-Lot to be passed out on the sidewalk in front of my house at 6:15 at night. But since kids have to walk by, little precious snowflake shouldn't have to see that bit of reality. Oh, then it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? So bravo to the SAC PD. Good job, gents. And a very hot blonde cop, I might add. Oh. Female.
I had never seen a hot cop till I moved here. Ohio, at least where I was, did not have hot cops.
Are you
not
serious? Exact. Men or women?
Women.
Oh, there's definitely
female,
hot cops.
Hot female cops were not big in Ohio. And I almost just said something inappropriate, but I'm just going to leave it at that. I just didn't see a lot of hot cops.
Well, there was this one blonde female cop.
Oh.
And she was busy doing her job, so. And I was wearing my sweaty balls t-shirt, so I didn't think it appropriate to go over and go, hey, I just came out of my apartment and saw you here.
The show's too straight.
Can I just say I was watching Law and Order today at the gym, and it made me cry, so I was on the machine with tears in my eyes. It was pretty embarrassing.
You know what makes me cry? That you watched Law and Order at the gym.
It was what was on.
Oh, boy.
I didn't have a choice.
Really? Anderson wasn't on? There was no Anderson for you?
I was kind of going back and forth, actually, now that you say that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. So, anyway.
It was a very compelling episode.
It's still not over.
Whatever.
They're all compelling episodes because they're ripped from the headlines. That's how they roll. All right. I know Larry is starting to look at his phone to see what time it is because he's got to go to the dollar store.
I have to go to Dollar General because I'm decorating pumpkins tomorrow.
And he's cheap.
It closes at 9. Well, no, because there's no other good craft store in Midtown that's open halfway late.
You have a car. You can leave Midtown, you know.
Ooh, I traditionally don't exceed those boundaries.
If you find other good Halloween decorations, we're having a lady business show in 2 weeks and it's Halloween themed. So pick us up stuff.
I'm having a Halloween party.
Oh, very good. All right, so we're gonna wrap this up now. We're gonna make sure we don't go over our hour like we do oftentimes.
Fine.
I'll buy everyone presents at Family Dollar.
Yay.
Or Dollar Tree. I don't even know what one it is.
You know what's the other thing about Larry that amazes me? Every weekend there's some hot chick, like on Sunday night or Monday, that posts on his wall, "Oh, it was so great to meet you. We have to hang out again." So
you meet
so
a lot of friends.
You're a hag collector.
Honestly,
no, not really.
No, they don't look haggish at all. And I mean in any sense of the word. And so I have now resolved that I need to hang out with Larry more often on the weekend.
Right.
Because he apparently knows where the ladies are.
If I wanted to have sex with a lady, I literally could have sex, I think, with like about 120 girls just tonight. I really think I could.
Every
gay guys are so unthreatening.
Every week, the same
fun.
Thing. Now, it's like you're taunting me now.
I could have so much vagina.
It's such a fucking.
Oh, to be fair, I did the hot girl who I met that night for the first time. Although I saw her on a show before, and we have a mutual friend.
Felt her boobies.
Oh, and then Saturday night. How ironic is this? So I'm at the Sacramento International Gay and Lesbian Film Festival gala. That's hard to say. And it was fun. And this girl showed me pictures of her dog. No joke. The next picture was one of her taco.
What?
And I flipped out a little bit.
What?
Like she had her phone, I think, was like mine. It was pretty big. And literally, I was like, and she could, like, she tried moving it, but it didn't move. It was pierced, and I was traumatized.
What?
I was like, should not have to see a vagina at a gay film gala.
What? Like, okay, so
she is hot and mean, but
was she a lesbian?
No, she was just there with her. She's hot. She's straight, but was there with her roommate, who's a gay dude. But it was traumatizing.
Yes, I'm horribly traumatized.
It was right pierced.
Now. Okay, where was it pierced? Was it a lip? Or
I
was
didn't
it a...
look that close.
Well, you saw it. Was it a ring? Was it a?
No, I don't. It
was
it
a stud?
Little thingy, and I was like, oh my god, it's pierced.
Was it carpeted or were there bare
ew,
floors?
Ew! I can't talk about it anymore.
Was it pergo?
Do your friends have nice cocks?
I haven't seen them. I don't know.
Does your friend Jimmy have a nice wiener?
Probably, but I haven't seen it, so I don't know. We can. He might show you if he got drunk.
Ew, no, he's not my type.
I know. He's too gorgeous. Anyway, wow.
That's naughty.
That was gay. That was so gay.
Would you do him if you had a chance?
No. Mm. If I had a gun to my head and I had to, then maybe. Had a chance, no.
You're only a hostage situation away from being bisexual.
I'm only a threat of my imminent death away from having sex with a man. That is correct. Anyway, it's time for our new segment. It's replacing What's Pissing Me Off this week because I realized that's pretty much the whole show. So it's time again for Small Town News. Ooh, I know. Got a couple of small town news stories.
We should have like the
Well, it's not rape you in the backwoods news. It's small town news. I'll come up with something.
Okay.
Vermont State Police waitress adds extra tip to sergeant's bill. A former waitress at the Tamarack Grill in East Burke has been accused of giving herself an extra tip after being unhappy with the gratuity left by a St. Johnsbury police officer and his wife this summer. Tiffany E. Harpin, 27, of St. Johnsbury, pleaded not guilty to a misdemeanor count of credit card fraud, blah, 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 blah. Police said Harpin has admitted to adding $20 to the dinner bill because she was unhappy with her tip. According to the affidavit fired by Trooper Brian Talamage, the Hazards, that's the couple with the cop and his wife, had gone out to dinner at the Tamarack and received a bill for $154.91, including tax. Mary Hazard told police she paid for the meal with her Visa credit card. This is important detail stuff. That's why it's small town news. They get all the details for you. And added in $15 for Harpin's tip.
Cheap.
So she tipped 10%. Mary Hazard said she then signed the credit card slip for a total charge of $169.91. But when she got her credit card statement, she found that she had been charged $189.91 by the Tamarack. Doo, doo, doo. Hmm. Police interviewed Mary Hazard and her husband at their home on August 15th. Again, very detailed. Apparently, they claim that the handwriting on the slip and the signature were not theirs. So, yeah, that's kind of the small town news. According to the affidavit, told police that she was sorry for what she had done and been upset with the day and become further upset because she felt the gratuity that the Hazards had given her was, quote, a poor tip.
It was.
It was a shitty tip.
She deserved to do it.
You're going to tip 10% on a $150 bill.
You're a cheap mother effer.
You are, and I don't care if you're a cop or not. You're an asshole. It doesn't excuse, you know, credit card fraud and stuff like that. But yeah, so that's one small town news story. But that's not small town enough.
Ooh.
I had to go back in the archives to this summer to much closer. See, that was in Caledonia County. This is going to go back to Orleans County, Vermont, the home of small town news, in Irisburg. Named after Ira Allen, the road to the church fair is paved with good intentions. And get back me on this, Mel. This story has three pictures.
Three. I see them.
Three color pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything that starts out at for the fair arrives at the fair. Omar Bisquet discovered the sad truth Saturday morning when, full of the desire to benefit his town, he and his friend Justin Tarmey set out to bring a piano to auction. The piano had been at the house for years, but he recently bought a 1947 jukebox, and there just wasn't room for that much music in the house. I tried to give it away, Mr. Busquette said Saturday afternoon, through the clear lens of hindsight. There's some writing for you. Through the clear lens of hindsight.
Somebody wants to be a big town writer.
Some people were interested. Parker Pye looked at it, but no one wants to move a piano.
Is this real?
This is absolutely positively real. It was in the Chronicle, which is the weekly Journal of Orleans County, Vermont.
The writing is so, like, I feel like we're reading an excerpt from Huckleberry Finn.
Oh, seriously? And
Parker Pye wanted to buy it, but because his crop had been in late this season, he just couldn't do it.
The people that founded this newspaper in the mid-70s are very well educated, and they write as such. And they have a week to craft their articles, so they are full of detail. So Mr. Busquette decided to donate the instrument to the Irisburg Church Fair Auction. The first step seemed obvious, and Mr. Busquette backed up his truck to the back of his house, which is situated so that a piano could easily be slid out of the door.
If the story doesn't end with a piano falling off the back of the truck and crushing orphans,
seriously.
I want my money back.
And onto the bed of the truck. But he and Mr. Tarmey got the first inkling that this would be not so simple an undertaking. After a number of attempts, the men discovered that the back staircase was a position that made passage of large objects such as a piano impossible.
I don't understand what this person's saying.
Justin said, "This just isn't going to work." The men knew the piano would fit comfortably through the front door, but they were also too aware that they would need to carry it down 15 steps to get into the truck. Mr. Busquette said he got a long piece of 2x10 and nailed it to the stairs. He knew there would be a lot of spring in the plank, so he propped it up with a chunk of firewood to hold it steady. Then the men began to slide the piano down the truck.
We need marshmallows.
I know.
And a fire.
This is a great one. It was no problem to move the instrument through the house, Mr. Busquette said. It was mounted on large wheels. They got it to the top of the slide, and it started down its way into the truck. almost immediately. They realized the piano is not an evenly balanced object. You couldn't have realized that by looking at it. It began to tip, and the two men used every muscle to keep it from falling, Mr. Bisquet said.
Every muscle? Did they use their tongues?
They did. They finally pushed it back upright. At this point, gravity lent a hand, and the piano picked up speed. Now the men had to exert every fiber of their being to hold the piano back. Mr. Bisquet said he braced himself against the truck and pushed. Their efforts were successful, and the piano came to rest safely in the bed of the truck.
Yay!
But the story's not over,
oh,
Mel.
No.
We think who we are. Two guys. We loaded this piano. Beautiful, Mr. Bisquet said. My wife is going to be happy. It's a good day in Irisburg.
Yay!
Oh,
Mr. Bisquet,
oh my God, it's still going.
Confessed that he and Mr. Tarney had a drinking celebration. Maybe that was a mistake. He made it clear that they didn't get drunk, but felt the need to acknowledge their accomplishment. Of course, you've loaded a piano. You must have a drink. After a brief break, I'm drunk now. Mr. Bisquet said he looked over the piano. I knew it was top heavy, he said, so I got a rope and tied it down. I shook it, and it seemed pretty decent. The men got in the truck and headed down the drive to Irisburg and the fair. Mr. Bisquet said he couldn't have been doing more than 5 miles an hour when he hit a pothole. I saw it tip. When it went back the other way, the ropes broke, Mr. Bisquet said. The piano tumbled out and fell on its back. Mr. Bisquet and Mr. Tarney looked at the instrument and realized that the only thing to do was head on down the road to the fair. This tale quickly spread around the green, helped in great measure by Mr. Bisquet's wife, Donna, who was doing land office business, painting children's faces and sharing her account of the musical
tragedy. I'm going to kill myself
in
just a minute.
I know, seriously.
So they do this, and his wife, of course, has to tell everybody. Mr. Bisquet was philosophical. Of course he was. You can't do something like this in Irisburg and get away with it, he said. He said he expects his friends will never allow him to live it down. Now he's on a podcast. People in Mexico are going to hear about this. He consoled himself with the knowledge that he was working for the best intentions of his town. We did try. There's an effort there. A lot of effort. Mr. Tarmy chimed in. A for effort. In the aftermath, the day the piano didn't make it to the fair, the instrument remained in the middle of Bisquet's drive. Mr. Bisquet said he's thinking of getting a burn permit. So these two guys, so the story itself is about, and there's a picture of them shaking hands here over their accomplishment. One of them in a white wife beater and the other one in a terrible shirt with a hat. And then there's a couple of pictures of the piano laying in the road. So not only did it fall in the road and they're thinking of just burning it, they decided to go ahead and tell their tale to the local paper, who wrote it up complete with pictures. Not one, but two pictures of.
They did not get
very far
from the
house. That was an awfully written story.
It was the King's English, Larry. How dare you? Anyway, hey, that's going to wrap up the show.
Somebody tell a joke. I need to pick me up.
This whole thing was a joke.
That thing was painful.
It was so painful.
Seriously, this is Jason Biggs prostitute in piano form. That's what happened. Anyway, we want to thank our sponsor, Huge Entertainment, for giving us the stuff to bring this podcast to you every week.
H-U-G. Oh, my God. Larry's already checked out. He took off his things.
I have
which
to
are
get
making
my pumpkin
so much,
decorating.
Which are making so much noise right now through the microphone.
Yes. Settle down. I'm going to turn his mic off. That's how we're going to go. Anyway, Larry, say goodbye.
Bye.
Mel.
See you next week.
Hey, everybody. Have a good one. If you want to send us an email, it's NateDarlingShow@rocketmail.com. Let your friends know about us. Like us on the Facebook and share us with somebody, because we'd really love that to happen.
Yes, we would.
Hey, everybody, have a great hump day. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
Bye.